This is not the path that I envisioned. My safe, secure plan was to stay here with you until I retire in 7 years. It was all worked out in my mind, but then I heard the urgency of a call. And so, with a great deal of reluctance in many ways, I'm going to follow.
Hello, and thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Keith Fry and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Sunday, January 26, 2020. Emmanuel Lutheran Church is a Reconciling in Christ congregation. We welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 at the corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. And now, here's this week's sermon from Pastor Keith Fry.
And grace to you and peace from God, our light and our salvation, and from Christ Jesus, who calls us to come and follow. Amen. There exists in me a strange mix of caution and impulsiveness. Now, maybe that's not so strange. Maybe it's the way for most of us. Throughout my life, though, I have found that there have been moments where I'm traveling along in the path I think is laid out before me, secure in the well-worn, comfortable tracks where my feet have been treading, heading toward what I think is a predictable and safe goal. And then suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, comes a call, an urging to take a path that is not at all what I would have planned for myself. I've been encouraging the telling of stories, and so I'm going to ask you to indulge me as I tell you my story. I tell it not to hold myself up as any model of faithfulness, but so that I can share with you the ways in which I have experienced the suddenness of call. It happened at the end of high school. As the son of a Baptist preacher in Texas, it was simply assumed that I would go to Baylor University, the mother of all Baptist church schools. A few months back, I came across a clipping from my hometown newspaper, the Friendswood News. They had featured me in an article, since my journalism teacher was their primary reporter. And in the article, I was quoted as saying that my next step was to go to Baylor, major in languages, and become a Wycliffe Bible translator. If you don't know the Wycliffe translators, they go and their goal is to translate the Bible into every known language. And so they go and live among people until they learn the language and then translate the Bible. Now, my grandmother was so sure of this that she had already crocheted me a Baylor green and gold Afghan, or African as she pronounced it, for my dorm room. And then, out of nowhere, in the mail came an invitation to apply to Northwestern University. To be very honest, I had never heard of Northwestern. It was off in the frozen north, as far away from my life as a Texas Baptist boy as I could possibly imagine. It was not even on the radar. And yet, I felt called to apply. In fact, it was the only place I applied. which looking back could be seen as rather foolhardy, given that I needed almost total financial support in order to be able to attend. Yet I responded, and in that response found a way of blessing that I had not imagined for myself. And my grandmother had to get her fingers busy crocheting a purple and white afghan. I still have the two of them that she made. A few weeks before the end of my studies at Northwestern, on the brink of receiving a master's in medieval French literature, let that soak in, came another of those moments. The path I had determined for myself was to apply to law school, and in the interim to become a paralegal in order to earn some money. I had taken the LSAT, had an offer from Mayor Brown and Platt for a paralegal post. My life seemed set. And then my eye fell on a little want ad in the Chicago Tribune. Remember help wanted ads? Looking for an editorial trainee in the modern languages department at Scott Forsman in Glenview. Textbook publishing was not anything I had ever even thought about. But in this tiny advertisement, there was a call, and it matched my gifts, so I called up Mayor Brown and Platt and told them I was not coming, sent my skimpy CV off in the mail, and 2 weeks later, newly minted master's degree in hand, I started a career that would last for 25 years, a calling where I prospered and where I felt I was making a difference in young people's lives. But all along the way, there had been another calling, urging, insistent, and that was the call to ordained ministry. I didn't think I could ever qualify. The rules were such that a partnered LGBT person was excluded from service. And yet the urgency of the call was there. And so in 2005, on my 25th anniversary of starting in publishing, the very day that they had awarded me Product of the Year and told me they were sending me to Maui, I walked in with no guarantee that I could go to seminary and be ordained at the end of the 4 years, and announced to the vice president above me at Prentice Hall, where I was one of the editorial directors, that I was going to leave the Boston area and move back to Chicago to start seminary. Ron Laudert was on my candidacy committee and encouraged me on that path, even when it seemed like it was going to be futile. It seems crazy and foolish to me when I look back now, but everything fell into place. I received a bonus from my company that largely covered the 4 years of tuition. Tom's brother sold us a three flat that he had built that was only 10 minutes away from the seminary, and the rent from the other apartments allowed us to live there virtually for nothing. And so there was rich providing for following that path. Another decision point came my third year in seminary, which is parish internship year. The safe path was to apply for a local placement, one that would keep me at home with Tom. And yet, there was a call. And I applied for a special internship off in Washington, D.C., which meant uprooting myself and living apart from Tom for a full year. But at Luther Place in D.C., I found surprising blessing as I worked with women who were experiencing homelessness, and I was forever changed by those encounters. But it wasn't a path I had imagined, but it was a path of blessing. Then there was a time of nail-biting when I graduated from seminary in 2009 because the rules had not been changed, and I was still precluded from ordination. But the churchwide assembly met in August that year, and by a single vote, changed the rules to allow for my ordination. The next obstacle, though, was to find a congregation willing to call me. I had already been turned down by the congregations that everyone had told me would be the most welcoming. It turned out they weren't. And I was beginning to despair, wondering if I had followed down the correct path. Then one day I got a call from the bishop's assistant asking if I would put my papers in at Christ the Lord Lutheran in Elgin. No, I said. It was in the most conservative part of Kane County. They're all Republicans. They'd never had any discussion around any questions of sexuality. One of their members I had heard speak vociferously at Senate Assembly against changing the ordination rules. This did not bode well. I didn't want to face rejection. But finally, I agreed, and I followed. And much to my surprise, they issued me a call to come be their pastor. And in that unlikely response, in that unlikely path, I found blessing. Then out of nowhere came a calling to come to Emmanuel. I'm going to be very honest with you. I fought God on this one. I resisted. Emmanuel had a reputation in the synod at that time as being insular, set in your ways, and not a welcoming place for LGBT folks. And you were still using LBW. But at the bishop's urging, I put my papers in. I'll tell you something else that may come as a surprise to most of you. I actually had told the call committee that I would accept the call, and then I got cold feet, chickened out. I actually had told them I was coming and then called and said, no, I've decided not to follow. And I withdrew my name, much to the call committee's disappointment. You see, I allowed my fears and my incorrect assumptions about you to overrule the sense of call. Many months later, the bishop's assistant came back to me. And even though the rules said it shouldn't happen, he told me that it seemed that the call was clear and asked me to prayerfully reconsider. And that time, I answered the call. And I found that my assumptions were wrong. And in following this path, I have found blessing. And now, without seeking it out, a new call has come for me to go and serve the wider church in a very different capacity, one that will actually take me back to using some of the gifts and skills I used in corporate life. Marianne, I'm going to share something you said to me yesterday. She said, Pastor, I don't really think of you as an administrative kind of guy. She said, you're more of a people person. This is not the path that I envisioned. My safe, secure plan was to stay here with you until I retire in 7 years. It was all worked out in my mind. But then I heard the urgency of a call. And so, with a great deal of reluctance in many ways, I'm going to follow. As we look at the gospel story of the calling of the first followers of Jesus, I am struck by the pattern I see there, because while it seems so strange, it nonetheless feels very familiar to me. Here are these young men doing what they do, fishing. They're not looking to become disciples of some itinerant rabbi. They're just going about their settled daily lives, following the path that's expected for them, the path that they have always assumed is what they're supposed to be doing. They will fish, they will mend their nets, and then trudge home tired to spouse and family, doing what is their vocation. But then out of nowhere comes this stranger who says nothing more than, "Follow me." And they immediately get up, leave their livelihood and their family behind, and they set out down a new path, following behind Jesus. Can't you imagine poor Zebedee's shock at seeing his two sons heading off down the beach? Now, I should note that these men keep coming back and exercising their first vocation alongside their new vocation. Being called to follow doesn't necessarily mean that we will have to completely abandon the things we know and love. But it does mean that we need to be ready when we hear the call to stand up and follow, because there is certainly blessing to be found on that path. One of the things I love about being Lutheran is the Lutheran understanding of vocation, of calling. Luther stressed that calling is not reserved for clergy and ordained ministry. My path as a student, as an editor and publisher, that was every bit as sacred a calling as my call to become a pastor. And your call to your vocation, whether that be a work vocation or whatever role it is that God has called you to at this point in your life, is sacred. As sacred as ordained ministry. We are called to serve a purpose in bringing this kingdom of heaven to reality here on earth. Each of you, sisters and brothers, each of you, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of education, regardless of financial status, regardless of any of those things that we use to classify and separate people, each of you is being called. You were called here this very day to gather in this assembly. And you answered that call. You followed. The life of a follower of Jesus is one of daily picking up whatever Christ has called you to carry that day, and to follow and to serve. Calls can come suddenly and surprisingly. They may be very hard to discern, very easy to overlook. Or calls, perfect timing, absolutely perfect. Calls can return day after day as well, or year after year, hitting you over the head, and they can be resisted with all your might and main. But if we want to find blessing, We have to look around us. We have to listen for those calls that come to us. And we need to develop the trust in Christ Jesus that allows us the freedom to get up and respond, either immediately or reluctantly, to the urging to come follow me. Following the call of Christ will sometimes mean letting go of things that are dear to us. And sometimes following even means dying to things and stepping out into paths of which we cannot see the ending. But always, the promise is if we are faithful, we will somehow find blessing. Let's end with a prayer that I love. Oh God, you've called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. And again, we welcome you to come join us for our Sunday service each week at 10:30. The Emmanuel Lutheran Church is located at the southeast corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. Thanks for listening.